South African Police Service has been hit by yet another scandal. Democratic Alliance MP Nicholas Godsell has exposed a critical shortage of rape kits. He is with us now to give us more details. Welcome, Nicholas.
Thank you very much.
How did you first become aware of the problem?
So we have through, in the portfolios that we work in, myself, and when I say we, I refer to the team at the DA. It's my colleagues, Ian Cameron and Lisa Schickeling in the portfolio committee. And then also my colleague in the provincial legislature. And we have obviously a network of people who provide us with information. And we very seldom act on information that we have not checked. So when we received the initial information, I was quite anxious about it because I simply could not believe that as we were winding down the 16 days of activism against violence against women and children, that this could possibly be true. And the second last day, it was, last Tuesday, we were then on our way to a different oversight, a completely different unit of the police, Ian and myself. And I said to him, I just think we have to go to Epping. So we went there. And, you know, the reality is that whenever we get to any unit in the SAPS where we do oversight, we always receive a warm welcome. And it's indicative of some really passionate and dedicated officers who work in the various units. The information that we then received was that they have no stock, that they've been waiting for stock for a long time. They took us to the storeroom. There was no stock. And now, just maybe I could pause there to say that, you know, at that moment and also only at this time, actually, we're looking at specifically D1 and D7 rape kits. Now, D1 is for an adult and a D7 rape kit is for a child. And our search was obviously for those two, but in between the D1 and D7, there's a whole range of others from 2 to 6, and then again another code that is DB, DC, DD. And they are for all the other ways in which the SAPS is meant to collect evidence. So whether it is from fingerprint, material, that kind of thing. And there was none of that either. So we had at that stage obviously spoken to a few people. We had also spoken to a journalist who then published the story the next day. But in her story, she carried comment from the Western Cape police spokesperson. And he had said that this was absolutely untrue. They tried to spin the story that, the reason why there's nothing on the shelves in their warehouse in Epping is because all the kits are meant to be within at the stations where they're supposed to be used, which of course makes sense. But the question is, what happens if you run out? And we all know from time to time the accounting bookkeeping is not that strong that you always know exactly when you're going to run out.
You started going on oversight visits to the police stations.
No, I first flew to Pretoria on Wednesday because we were concerned that there might be a national shortage, and I must say I'm not entirely sure that there is not. So I attended, I went to Silverton, where the National Supply Chain offices are. I was welcomed by a Major General Sithole. And then it was explained to me pretty much in exactly the same lines as the comment that was carried in the media on that day, why there was no stock. But the rider was that, in fact, that very morning, the morning after we had conducted our first oversight at Epping, they had received a requisition from the Western Cape for 1,540 D1 kits and 1,300 kits for children. And my question was, but, you know, when if they'd placed these orders a while ago, why this morning do you receive a requisition? So, of course, you know, that, many answers on that. But they did provide me with, it's a process that they follow on a monthly basis. It is a certificate that is provided to the national office by the province, which reflects all the quantities of every one of the stations in that province. In the Western Cape, we have 172 stations. And with that, I then flew back to Cape Town and I did my oversight. I started my oversight that evening, starting at the Sea Point Police Station.
Okay, what did you find? Remind us.
So I think importantly it is to say, you know, an oversight like this you can't do in the evening because there's a supply chain office, which, you know, these are officers who work, let's say, office hours. But I found that there was a 1D1 kit and 4D7 kits in the charge office. But according to this certificate issued by Major General Jojo in the Western Cape Provincial Office, they were meant to have 59 D1s and 50 D7s. So I went back the next morning. I was helped by a very, very helpful lady in the supply chain office. But there was nothing more. There were no kits. In fact, she said that they had sent some back to their central station, which is Cape Town Central, a lot that had expired. At the same time, I made my way to Cape Town Central Police Station, and two of my colleagues made their way to Athlone and Paarl, respectively. Now, in Athlone, my colleague Farhat Esak found 60 D1s, all of them having had expired, and 70 D7s, all of them as well expired. In Paarl, there was nothing, but they were told that all the kits were held at the FCS, which, you know, makes sense because the Family Child Services Unit is actually where you would expect them to make the inquiry, to do the tests, etc. So I then went to Cape Town, and this is where, according to the certificate, there was meant to be 10 D1s and 72 D7s. But they had nothing. And I looked at the certificate and I, of course, I obtained permission from the station commander. You know, we can't really be, they can't deny us access. And I always say to them, you know, we're not here to make life difficult for you. In fact, we want to make it easy. So we can only help you if you're honest with us. And they were very honest. But I asked for a Captain Weinhardt, you know, who's the accounting officer according to this certificate, which the Western Cape provincial office issues. And they said, but, you know, Captain Weinhardt retired a year ago. We informed the provincial office, I think it was the 3rd of Jan 2025, that he had retired and that there was a new person dealing with this. And he was very, very hands-on. He knew exactly what was going on. He showed me the numbers. But when they last reported, they reported to them that they had zero D1. And somehow the number 10 had ended up on the certificate. So, you know, it's very, very strange. The numbers that appeared on the certificate, which was sent from the local stations to the province, reflected correctly, well, according to the certificate that the Western Cape office issued, that there were 59 and 50 respectively at Sea Point. But I had seen for myself that there was not. So someone in the Sea Point office will have to answer why they reported that number. And then someone in the province must explain. By way of final, you know, to put you in the picture fully, this certificate does say that the Western Cape has 100. In fact, between 1,000 and 2,000 kits. But there are many stations reflected at zero. And I want to use the example of, for example, you know, Riedlinghuis is a small little secluded town on the West Coast. They are reported as having zero. But if you look at the stations surrounding them, Eland's Bide, Paketberg, they also have zero. This is on the certificate. Now, if you are the responsible accounting officer for the Western Cape, you have just, as a government, run a campaign to make people aware of this absolute pandemic we have. Surely you then say, well, hold on. I can see that in Hermanus, I have 100 kits. I was there this morning. They don't have 100. But let's send some of let's say 20 to Redlinghuis or Paketberg or Elandsbaai, so that those guys who are in close proximity. Now, their argument would be, well, when somebody reports a sexual assault or a rape incident to us, then we will drive with them to the FCS. Many of our oversights show us that these stations very seldom have vehicles. So the question then is, why do you set yourself up for failure?
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car, driving.
We Buy Cars. The easiest way to sell your car, by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
Now, Nicholas, what have been the implications for rape victims?
So, you know, I think the biggest implication is that you have somebody who is going through a massive trauma. You have somebody who has been violated, and the first thing that they want to do is shower, I would imagine. But, you know, by all accounts, that's what they would want to do. And they are often told, victims are told, don't shower, don't go to the bathroom, because you have to preserve as much of the evidence as possible, especially if the assailant was not known to you. Now, what happens when we lose time? You get to a station, they say, oh, we don't have a rape kit. Now we need to put you in a car. We need to drive with you somewhere. Or we need to find a car, then drive somewhere. For example, in the central Karoo, none of those stations, between five stations, we're talking Langsburg, Beaufort West, Prince Albert, Murraysburg. There were five, two D1s and three D7s between five stations. Now, what are we talking about? 300 to 400 kilometer distance. And the reality is that when we lose the evidence, there will be very slim chances of a conviction. It means there will be no justice for the victim. And it means that you'll put someone who is sick and a criminal back on the streets.
Now, Nicholas, this comes at a time of the year when rapes generally escalate. So what is going to happen now? Are there any emergency measures being planned?
So, well... Fortunately, according to the information that I have, the SAPS Silverton made good on their promise to deliver the 2,840 kits to Epping today. They told me that the truck would leave yesterday, and I've been informed that it did arrive today. So the important thing for us now is to ensure that those kits are distributed according to the need. That's the firstly for us important. What I have noticed when I was at Silverton on Wednesday was that the expiry date on those boxes were all April 2026. Now, I've not yet been able to get the correct stats. I'm trying to see what are the statistics according to each station. Of course, now Parliament's in recess, so we can't ask parliamentary questions. And unfortunately, in the Western Cape, we sit with the Provincial Police Commissioner who just does not answer emails or requests for information, even from the media. But it would be good for us to know that according to statistics, and I think, you know, I don't think rape has a pattern when it comes to statistics. But we have to make sure that everybody has at least enough and that everybody knows where they can get more if they need some. And so the police will now come with all kinds of excuses. But the reality is, if this has been managed properly, if they have not inflated numbers like Seapoint, for example, like Athlone, who sits with 130 kits that are all expired, we wouldn't we wouldn't have to worry. But we have to worry because we don't know if, for example, the people on the in the central Karoo will be getting enough to make sure that you don't have to travel from Beaufort West to Langsburg in order to get a kit and be tested, etc. And the second thing we need to do is we need to make sure that that somebody takes responsibility at the Western Cape Provincial Office for this lie.
Mm. Now, what advice do you have for women who arrive at a station having been raped and there's no rape kit and nobody to get her to a place where she can be have evidence taken from her?
Well, my advice would be that they get to a doctor as soon as possible, because I think at least the doctor would be able to do the necessary tests. And I think then the police can at least accompany them to have what is called a J88 filled out. Of course, I don't want to give advice. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't want to jeopardize anybody's chances of doing this correctly. But that is my understanding, is if you at least get to a doctor who can do the necessary tests or testing. And also, if there is a Tutuzela center close by, they would generally be able to give the best advice. I was at Hermanus police station this morning. We were also meant to have, I think, 100. And their reporting says that they have a lot and that the FCS, the Family Child Support Unit, has a lot. That's just down the road. So in a situation where there's an FCS office close by, I think your chances are very good that you'll get good service. The problem comes in when we sit in rural areas, where we sit in isolated little towns, often where a stigma or the stigma is even bigger. People are even more afraid. So I want to implore anybody who does encounter someone who might have to make such a complaint to please ensure that they go to the right place. But the police station is always the first place. But if they cannot help, please make sure that a doctor helps as soon as possible.
Are you going to continue with your oversight visits?
There is no way that I'm going to stop. I went to Hermanus this morning, as I said. I've been to Somerset West, I've been to Caledon. They do have, but the oversight now goes to see that everybody has enough. And I think, you know, what is important for us is to also make sure that we don't just make sure that there's enough. We need to keep an eye now to see what happens between now and April 2026. Now, when I was in the storeroom at Silverton, I didn't see anything that had a later expiry date. It means that is all that is available nationally. And certainly from the DA side, I will encourage all my colleagues in the provinces, I have in fact already, to do their oversights to make sure, and that we need to keep an eye on the supply from national between now and April to make sure that there isn't a bigger problem. And I am told that, you know, for example, in many stations they say, well, we don't have a D1 kit, so we can just use a D7 kit because they're basically the same. But you need one very clever defense attorney who picks that up and their client is free. So we don't want technicalities. We want these things to be done correctly. And we need the police to step up. The fact also that the rest of the evidence material are not available, that's also a cause for concern. So we need to expand on that. And we also need to make sure that that we understand why the Western Cape police spokesperson thought that he had the correct details. I mean, if they think that two members of parliament will simply go to a warehouse and issue a statement or make a video crying for help or highlighting an issue for the sake of getting, a media hit out of it, then they are mistaken. There is a serious shortage. There's an accounting problem. And, my colleague Ian Cameron, we were chatting this morning about a parliamentary question reply that he got. His question was, how many SAPS firearms have been lost or stolen from armories in the past 5 years and how many have been recovered. That statistic is that they have lost 170 and only 16 have been found. Now, these things all fall under supply chain, and we need to understand. So, you know, rape kits are incredibly important. But then we look at gun violence on the Cape Flats and we ask, where do all these guns come from? Unfortunately, we also have to look at SAPS armories.
Thank you. That was DA MP Nicholas Godsell speaking to this news. I'm Chris Stein. Thank you.